Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, he is Jared Greenberg, NBA TV host. He hosts The List and Crunch Time over on NBA TV, and he joins us now. Jared, what's the word, man?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Everything is good in Memphis. So are you guys, we were talking about this yesterday, are you guys watching Grizzlies games and just wishing Ja was on the floor a little bit more?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the other night I tuned in and I was disappointed that Jaren Jackson was out too. Obviously, you know, Ja's healthy, but you know, I get it. They want to keep it, take it slow with him, you know, and you've got some other guys they want to play, but no, I think he's been, you know, even though the Grizzlies are 1-5 at this point, Ja has been, he's been sensational, a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, just your assessment of his game. I mean, typically it can take a little bit longer for that point guard position, but it doesn't really look like it's taken that long for him. What have you thought of Ja through six?
Well, I mean, obviously the standout game is the win against Brooklyn, right, mm-hmm. where not only did he have some spectacular offensive plays, really showing off great ball handling and decision-making, but then, you know, the great defensive effort on Kyrie. That's the one that stands out, and that's the lone win right now. But I just think I think it's the awareness. You know, I think it's willing to get teammates involved, his hustle, his hard play. And, you know, it's just it's funny because, you know, the two guys with Zion out right now in New Orleans that come to, you know, front of mind that's in the Rookie of the Year running, you know, right off the bat, you'd have to think would be John Morant and R.J. Barrett and Hilarious that, you know, you guys are wondering, should he be playing more? And in New York, the big question, as I'm sure you've heard with the former coach of the Grizzlies, David Fizdale, is he playing R.J. Barrett too much? So I just think it's hilarious, you know, 3 weeks into the season, the types of conversations we're having.
Tyler Hero, too, has been pretty fantastic as well. Jaren Jackson, just your thoughts on him. You know, there's a camp that believes, you know, with Ja, Jaren together, that tandem, right, can be elite. And I know that the Grizzlies are hoping they're going to be stars. Are you in that camp? Do you feel the same way about Jaren? You got that kind of optimism about his career and where he can go?
I love the dude. I think he's, you know, first of all, as I'm sure you guys know, you know, what a great person he is.
Absolutely.
Too, right? I mean, he is just salt of the earth, unbelievably great to deal with. But first and foremost, can we get the guy out of foul trouble one of these days? Yeah, right?
It's a thing. It's something he's going to have to grow through.
It's
no
crazy.
Doubt.
I mean, he's almost, you know, in the five games he's playing, I'm just looking this up now, the five games he's playing this year, he's almost averaging five fouls a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. Yeah, you know, and I remember last year, too, before he got injured, there were a couple of games. Funny enough, actually, I remember that Nets game that went to overtime last year, if you guys recall that, which was just an epic game. He fouled out in overtime or something like that. You know, it's just you've got to put yourself in position for some of these big moments to be available for your team, especially with the Grizzlies who, listen, we know that they're going to struggle in the wins and loss column this year, but what you're pretty confident in and what you've seen for the most part early on with one or two exceptions here and there is they're not going to get blown out of games. And what's going to help their cause and what's going to get the attention of the country is the fact that these two are on the court helping them do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you can get great shots from Jay Crowder or Jonas Valanciunas could have great moments. But, you know, I think as you guys are alluding to here, the future of this franchise, just like it used to be on Conley and Gasol, is now on the shoulders firmly of Jackson and Ja Morant.
No doubt about it.
We are, of course, talking to Jared Greenberg from NBA TV, the host of The List and Crunch Time. LeBron James, Jared, finished last night with a triple-double. He is the oldest player in the history of the NBA to have three straight triple-doubles. Are we taking LeBron for granted? Like, I sometimes felt like during that great season for Russell Westbrook where, you know, he kind of set the record for triple-doubles that we kind of got fatigued to it and that we maybe took it for granted. I think with LeBron, he's been doing this for his whole career. It's like, oh, triple-double for LeBron, you know, just another day at the office. How about the season he's having at 35?
Well, I'm going to give you a yes and a no, and I'm not going to ride the fence on this one, fellas, I promise. I'm going to give you two different answers, though. The first is, yes, we're taking LeBron for granted, but no, it's not because of the whole triple-double thing. unfortunately, I'm the wrong guy to talk about with that. I think, you know, the triple-double is probably the most overrated, overblown, overplayed kind of made-up stat that we have in the NBA. It's just got a sexy label on it, and that's all of a sudden, you know, if we had other kind of categories of stats that had names like triple doubles, we might be fascinated by that. Not to say that, listen, putting up double digits in points, rebounds, and assists is not impressive, but I think you got to look inside the box score, watch the games to understand what's really happening in those games. And unfortunately for a guy like Russell Westbrook, oftentimes those numbers are a bit inflated because of what happens in games. With that said, I do think we are taking LeBron for granted. I do think, you know, we underplay his greatness. But at the same time, I think we've got to be careful. You know, oftentimes LeBron has been slow playing us throughout the course of the season when he was in the Eastern Conference because he didn't care what seed either Miami or Cleveland had. He knew he'd be just fine once the playoffs come because he could put, you know, pedal to the metal and really excel against lesser competition. The question I have for this year is if LeBron plays at this playoff intensity and playoff level over the course of 82 games, what's he going to have left in the tank once he's 35 years old? I kind of worry about it from that angle because as good as the Lakers have looked, let's be honest, their first 20 games is not against very good opponents.
That's true.
And they're showing us that they don't have very much depth. Listen, Quinn Cook hit a big shot last night. We've seen Danny Green hit big shots. Avery Bradley's had big moments, but now Avery Bradley's hurt. You know, can Dwight Howard sustain what he's been doing? I'm cautiously optimistic about the Lakers at this point. I want to get to Christmas before I truly evaluate who they are and who LeBron is.
I think that's fair. What we did know about them, though, is that they would go from no playoffs last year, right, to in the playoffs this year. I realize it's early, Jared, but of the teams right now that you look at that didn't have a chance last season, that were at the bottom, the Phoenix Suns, the Dallas Mavericks, Minnesota Timberwolves, all right now in the top six spots, which one of those teams do you believe in most?
I would say of those teams right now, uh-huh. I'd say Dallas.
Me
just
too.
Because,
Porzingis and Doncic.
Exactly, man. Like, and that's one of the things where, you know, unfortunately, we don't, we do actually have Dallas tonight. I'm looking at the schedule. You know, that's one of the things we'll do on crunch time tonight, which hopefully you guys will be able to check out starting at 6 o'clock local time in Memphis, where, you know, we take live looks of all these games throughout the night and kind of give you a fast-paced view of what's going on around the NBA. And Doncic is like, for crunch time, he's one of our golden child, you know, mm-hmm. because it seems like every moment, even in warm-ups, last week during crunch time, we had a moment where he had like a Steph Curry type of warm-up where he had the attention in the whole arena and he's hitting half-court shots. And then once the game starts, as you know, guys know, I mean, him and Porzingis, it's amazing. They've exceeded expectations to this point.
Agreed.
You know, and I get 4-2, not that big of a deal, as you're saying, you know, it's early. But for those guys, and you know, they've got a pretty good supporting cast around them. You know, they got a guy like DeLon Wright that you guys saw for a short time mm-hmm. in Memphis last year. I really like, of those teams you're mentioning, I think Dallas has the best shot to surprise us and make a push here for the postseason.
Jared, don't the Warriors have to suffer a little bit? And people are saying, well, this is not, you know, it's the hiatus. They're just going to take a year off. They have their 2020 first round pick, and it's going to be awesome. Yeah. But don't they have to at least suffer a little bit? Like, this isn't suffering if you just come back next year with an awesome basketball player like James Wiseman. Like, I feel like you got to bleed a little bit.
I guess you weren't a fan of the super team and the Warriors' five straight trips to the finals?
Yeah, Kevin, KD put it over. I mean, I was fine with it before KD.
Right. I hear you. Listen, I'm a fan of greatness, right? And I don't really care what city or what team it comes from. If it's Memphis one year, that's spectacular. Whatever happens. Maybe it's a case of the basketball gods getting the Warriors here. But the crazy spin on it right now, as you're kind of alluding to, is maybe it's the best thing that happened to the Warriors because with the roster they were coming back with this year, they weren't going to win a title. So maybe they get a full year of rest mm-hmm. or Steph, Clay, and Draymond, they
develop
come back, they get a top five. They get a top five pick in the draft, and here we go again.
Yeah, watch those guys get a one or a two pick. It'd be crazy. Are you with Doris Burke? She came out. Kawhi's not playing tonight. Load management obviously is going to take the night off. And she said it. She said that she believes the NBA's got a problem and can't believe that Kawhi is doing this. Are you with her? And if you are, what's the solution?
Well, you know, I'm with you. Like, every time you say there's a problem, there should be a solution. Right now, I don't have it, and I don't think the smartest minds in basketball have
we'd already be doing it, right? I'm with you, Jared. Yeah.
No question. But it is an epidemic. It is a problem. Hey, it helps us over on NBA TV tonight, because if you don't want to watch the Clippers and Bucks, you know, then on ESPN, then we've
come
got plenty for bounce around on crunch time on NBA TV.
There
right?
you go.
I'm totally in the boat where I understand that if a dude's coming off an injury. Like last year, Kawhi sitting out, what, those 22 games, kind of made sense. Mm-hmm. He only played 9 games the year before. He was coming off of what was deemed to be a significant quad injury.
Right.
And the reason why the NBA was okay with it last year was just that, because he was coming off an injury.
Missed so much time.
It was rehab, right? Mm-hmm. It was part of the process. Now, what's the excuse for Kawhi not playing? He played a full season last year, went deep into the playoffs. And I think the issue for a lot of people is that, like, it's so early in the season to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, the NBA's got to protect its TV partners, too, who are spending billions of dollars. And for Kawhi, for a second straight Wednesday, not to be playing on a nationally televised game, it's not good for the product. It's not good to bring people to their television sets or to the arena to buy tickets.
What about shorting the season? NBA wouldn't do it, right? There's too much money at stake, right? Is that the...
The players would... Nobody would
no,
do it.
No, the players, too, because theirs is up for... Yeah, you're right. I mean, that part of it's true.
Every single fraction, anybody who participates in the NBA and makes money off the NBA would have to agree to take less money. I don't see that happening. Should it happen? Yeah, maybe. But then are we going to get into a situation, even if we go back to, like, remember the lockout year back in 2012,
mm-hmm.
where we played 66 games, which everybody was like, oh, that's the number. That's the sweet spot. That's where we should be. Even if we went that drastic, which I never think will happen, if we reduce it, maybe it'll be like 78 or 76 games. I can't imagine it goes all the way to 66. But for argument's sake, let's say it does. Then we'll still find reason, these sports scientists, who aren't wrong, by the way, these guys who are studying this, guys like Alex McKechnie, who's a genius in Toronto,
mm-hmm.
who devised this whole plan for Kawhi Leonard with load management last year, they'll still find reason why in a 66-game schedule, guys will need rest to manage their load occasionally throughout the course of a season. I don't know that it's necessarily the number of games played. I think it's the amount of rest and maximizing the amount of rest between games that's key, which is why it's not as simple as saying, well, instead of playing Kawhi 40 minutes tonight, let him just play 20 minutes. You know, you speak to these sports scientists, as I have around the league, and they'll tell you it's not about reducing minutes. It's about shutting down the body for a certain period of time to maximize rest between games. Now, mm-hmm. you and I may hate that answer, but that's the scientific reason, and that's why it's being utilized. And is it working? I don't know, but the Raptors just won a championship utilizing it. So it's a copy and paste society we live in, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Now you can catch Crunch Time tonight, every Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. on NBA TV. Jared, man, appreciate the time,
you,
as always.
Great stuff.
You got it, guys. Hopefully you'll check out the show tonight. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
He is Jared Greenberg. Catch him on NBA TV tonight. Crunch Time, 6 o'clock on Wednesdays and Fridays. We will be back. Jason and John on 92.9 FM. Yes.
You wouldn't use an 8. 8-